as a church member from time to time, as I've been doing tonight, just kind of look around and see people with great needs. We have some folks in our congregation. We mentioned many of them in our prayer already tonight. But there are folks I know, Brother Doug Shoup's going to be having a hip replacement in September. And I'm talking to Johnny and Jan, both of them have great physical needs. A lot of folks, good to have Pat back with us. She's been struggling for a long time. But I tell you, there are folks that are hurting all around us. And we need to be faithful in praying for them. I'm reminded again, I mentioned this Sunday night. Peter was in prison, had a great bondage in his life, but the church prayed. And I encourage you as a church to pray. And I've been kicking around whether I should say this or not. I'm going to. Some of you know about my wife's situation and has trigeminal neuralgia, which I know means a great deal to you. But this is a problem she's been dealing with now for a couple of years. They've tried all kinds of medications. We met with a neurosurgeon today and have scheduled surgery August the 23rd. Basically, what they're going to do is cut a hole in the back of her head, behind her ear, take out some of that bone, go in, and there is a nerve, they think, rubbing against the blood vessel, and they put Teflon between it, and it's supposed to solve the problem. He said 60 to 70% chance. Of course, the guy looks like he's about 18. I'm a little concerned about that. But he's one of these whiz kids, brilliant surgeon guys down at University of Tennessee. But I would ask you to pray for us, to pray that if God doesn't want this to occur, he can easily shut the door. I was going to preach tonight on how to know the will of God, but I'm not going to. The Lord led me to preach on something else. By the way, if you want to know how to, I'll give it to you real quickly. The Scriptures, the Spirit of God, spiritual people and circumstances. There you go. You wish I had preached that, didn't you? It's a lot shorter. But pray that God would really direct and in this situation. And I know many of you have great physical needs. I know that. But this is personal, obviously. And when it's personal, it becomes really big. You know what I mean? And it is brain surgery. And she'd have to spend one night in intensive care and then probably another day in the hospital. And it's a major thing. And so we ask your prayers as a church family. And my desire through all of this is that my faith grows. You know, trials will make you or break you as a believer. They will either prove, and this is not the sermon, but I'll get there. They will either prove your faith or they will destroy your faith and show that your faith is not real. Real faith is made stronger through trials because we get a greater faith in God when we see what God does. And I told my Sunday school class several weeks ago, God has been very good to me in my life. And there's been very few situations in my life where I just needed God to do something great. Now, when you need to do, see, I've heard all my life about how great it is. I even preached on that last Sunday night. And by the way, when I preach, I typically preach about to me first. And I want to see God who can do impossible things do something great in my life. I want to see, it's one thing to hear about God and what he can do. It's another thing to experience it. Now, the only trouble with that is to experience it, you usually have to do what? Go through a trial. And many of you could stand and give testimonies that the times that you knew, learned the most about God was in the midst of that trial. And that is true. So you pray for us, pray for my wife, pray for me, that God would continue to direct us. If he wants to close the door, that's the fourth one, that's circumstances. God can easily do that. He could heal her tomorrow. I've been praying in the morning, Lord, when she wakes up, help be gone. Hadn't happened yet. I'm sending money to Benny Hinn, and that hadn't helped either, but I figure maybe I didn't send enough. I'm not sure. So, not really. Some of you don't know me very well. That's a joke, okay? All right. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for you. God, you are a great God. And Lord, how we long to know your power, not just by hearing, but by seeing, by experiencing. We know it's true either way, but Lord, we want our strength and our faith to be built. We want to see you do a mighty work. And Lord, there's folks in our congregation. I see Sandy back there and Roger. God, they need a great God. I see David Pruitt back there and Pam's at home. They need a great God. Lord, I think of folks with great physical needs, Johnny and Jan and Doug going to have surgery. And Lord, folks that need a great God. And Lord, we thank you that you are a great God. And Lord, we pray that you would just show yourself powerful in our time of weakness, and that we'd be strengthened and see you do mighty things. Pray for our teens and pastors. Is there a way? We pray that you'd have your hand upon them, continue to use them, bring them back safely. Continue to pray for this church in Indianapolis. My, how they need a great God, a God who can do anything. And I pray you'd minister to them and help them, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, every one of you has a muscle, it's actually a pump, in your chest about the size of your fist, weighs anywhere from 9 to 12 ounces. What's it called? It's a heart. I hope most of you have one of those. Average heart beats about 100,000 times a day, 35 million times a year in your lifetime, 2.5 billion times in the average person. Your body has about 6 quarts of blood, circulates about 3 times every minute. In one day, your blood will travel 12,000 miles, which is equivalent to cross the United States 4 times. Isn't that exciting? By the way, that all just happened by evolution, too. This circulating blood carries oxygen to all the extremities of your body. If that did not happen, if the blood was not carrying oxygen, you would cease to be able to function. Before long, you would die. Pretty important thing, isn't it? Some of you have had heart trouble, you've had heart attacks, had different issues, and you couldn't do what you once did. You know, you lost your virility, your strength, because the heart was not working correctly. It's interesting. In old days, they used to do bloodletting. And that you were sick, they take your blood out. If they just read Leviticus 17:11, they know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that is true, isn't it? That as that blood courses through your veins, boy, that's where your strength comes from. Simply put, the operation of your heart, your physical heart, affects every area of your life. Every area of your life. If your heart does not work the way it should work, you got problems. And it will affect you in a mighty way. But tonight, I'm not preaching about a physical heart, because I just told you everything I know about a physical heart. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. And you know, just as your physical heart affects every area of your life, so your spiritual heart affects really your whole life and your whole eternity. And I want you to look at one verse tonight in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And we're going to spend all our time looking at this verse tonight. Proverbs 4:23. And he says, keep thy heart, the spiritual heart, with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. So 2 points tonight. The first will cover the first half of the verse. The second half of the verse. All right? Number one, the record of the command. What is the command? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now what does that mean? Well, he's not talking about the physical heart. He's talking about the spiritual heart. Now, your question at this point ought to be, what is the spiritual heart? Well, it's interesting because the Word of God uses this word in several ways. Let me give you some examples. By the way, the first time it was used is Genesis 6:5. You probably know that verse. And God saw that the imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. So there you kind of get the mind aspect of the heart. In Proverbs 17:22, you know this verse too, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You get the emotion part of the heart. And then in Proverbs 11:20, it says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. So we see your heart is that inner you, your thoughts, your will, and your emotions. It's the real you. Equivalent, I think, probably to the soul, which lives forever. Now, what's the action we're supposed to be taking about this spiritual us, okay? He says, all right, I want you to keep your heart. Now, in the King James Version, this same word is translated from the Hebrew. It's translated to guard or to protect or to preserve. In fact, it's interesting. It is even used for a guy whose job was to stay up all night and sit on the city wall and do what? Watch. And he was called the watchman. And his job is to look and be on the alert all night long looking for the enemy. He said, look, I want you to keep your heart. I want you to be diligent about this thing. And it's very intense here. It's interesting. This word, this action of keeping is also described someone who is in jail or in prison. Used seven times of Joseph. Used seven times of Nehemiah. And what Solomon is telling us here, folks, is you need to be diligent about protecting your spiritual heart. It could be translated, above all guarding, guard your heart. Now, it's interesting. I was thinking about this today. What are some things that we guard in our life? You may have it in a safe deposit box. You may have a safe at home. We have several safes here at the church. You guys give so much money. We have to have several safes to keep it all in. And we're pretty particular at this point in our time here about keeping all the money in the safe. I don't know the combination. Don't ask. I don't know what it is. All right? So, what kind of things do people keep in safes? What's that? I'm sorry. Valuable things like jewelry. Yeah, money. All that money someone left you, you know? That's why I don't have a safe, okay? Passports, maybe. Valuable documents, your marriage document, or some of those kinds of things, or birth certificates. What is true about all that stuff? It's in the end. Now, it's important to have when you're trying to get back into America to have a passport. We took those folks to Nova Scotia. I would hate to have to leave somebody at the border and say, hey, see you later. We're going on. You forgot your passport, buddy. You're staying in Canada. But in eternity's view, how important is that stuff? But, you know, when the stock market goes up, those of you that have stocks and things, oh, no, what are we, you know, it's great. It's great. Oh, we got this money. And when it goes down, oh, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. And we keep an eye on all these things, and we're very careful about all this stuff. But in the end, when you get to heaven someday, it's not going to matter at all. But, boy, your spiritual heart is. And so Solomon says, look, I want you to set a protective wall about your spiritual heart. Now, let's apply it. Many of you are familiar with John Bunyan. What famous book did he write? Pilgrim's Progress. He also wrote one called The Holy Wars. It's an interesting book. I mean, it's deep. I tell you, you know, it's not like reading a comic page. This guy's deep. But he talked about a man's heart, and he called it a city called man's soul. Man's soul had five gates. Okay? Let me read what he says about these gates. This famous town of Mansoul had five gates, in at which to come, out of which to go. All right, you can go in and out these gates. And these were made likewise answerable to the walls, to wit, impregnable, and such as could never be opened nor forced, but by the will and the leave of those within. You got the picture? You see the city. You see the city walls. Who can open the city walls or the gates? Only the people on the inside. Cannot be breached from the outside, has to be opened. Here's the names of the gates. There are five of them. The ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate, the nose gate, and the feel gate. It's pretty sharp, isn't it? What's he saying? You have five senses, most of you. You can see, you can touch, you can hear, you can smell. You've got five different senses. I think I left one out. Maybe I didn't. Taste, I'm going to test that. Now look. Here's the picture. Your soul, your heart, your spiritual heart is being protected by those five gates. And the only way that your spiritual being can be affected is by what comes through those different gates. You got the picture? I'll illustrate this a little more later on. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the taste and the smell, okay? Now, if you're on a diet or something, the taste gate might be very, or the smell gate, those are important, but we're not, so don't worry about that. We don't believe in those kind of things. Touch, are people tempted through touch? Yeah. Now, they tell us that more so the women than the men. Why don't we go around hugging all the women all the time? You know, it's funny, Preacher Lashley always said, you know, these preachers, they'll get in the back and all the women come by and they hug them. But he said, you know what they do? They hug the good-looking ones. Why don't we do that? Well, because that's one of the gates that enters your heart. That's why we're not very touchy-feely around here. Okay, there's a reason for that. But I want to spend most of the time on the other three, and one of those is the sight gate. Think about your eyes today. Okay? What did your eyes see today? Do you realize that every moment of your life, your eye gate is under bombardment? I mean, just think about if you go to White's, or we don't have White's anymore, Food City. If you go to White's, you'll be all by yourself. If you go to Food City and you're checking out, what do you see? I mean, you can't hardly go through the checkout, can you? Turn the television when you get home tonight. Unless you're watching something spiritual like soccer, you're going to see a lot of terrible things. See, soccer has no advertisements or anything, and there's no cheerleaders, so it's a pretty clean thing to watch, except some of their language might not be so good. We have the internet today. We have easy access to all kinds of terrible things. Now look, you say, Seaman, I am 75 years old. This is not a problem with me anymore. Thou liest. Years ago, I asked Preacher Lashley, I said, Preacher, as you get older, and I don't know, he's probably in his 60s, maybe early 70s at the point. I said, you know, you've been saved all these years, you've been preaching, you've been pastoring the church. Surely, you don't struggle with temptation anymore. He said, wrong. Now, they're different temptations, obviously. But you know what? Your flesh that you were born with that is wicked and evil is just as wicked and evil now and will be just as wicked and evil until you die. Folks, we need to realize that as believers, we need to be very careful about what we see. Now, I told you, I'm preaching to myself too, okay? We need to be very careful. That's why David, it's kind of ironic that David said this, and we'll see that in a minute, but he said in Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We're going to talk about his failure of that. But the sight, what did you see? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? What kind of movies are you watching? Are you watching, if you have a TV or whatever, what are you looking at? Everything you look at comes through the eyes, right into your spiritual soul, right into your heart. Okay? What are you listening to? Boy, the ears are under constant bombardment now, aren't they? Everywhere you go, even the elevator, you know? Where you work. Everything you turn. What was? You go to the mall. I do this like once a year, and it's even painful then. But you go by these stores. I can't even say the names of these stores, but I mean the music is just, you know, just bombarding you and just beating on you. You go to I took my wife out to eat. I'm trying to let everybody know about this because it's that time of year again when I do that, and we ate at Smoky Bones. Have you guys had those donuts? At the end, you know, the bag of donuts with the raspberry dipping sauce. Oh, my soul. I take Crestor so I can eat that way. It's wonderful. But the music in that place was horrendous. It's just constantly bombarding you. And now we can put music on our phones and on our iPads and our iPods. And we got music playing all the time. How about language that you hear? What kind of language have you heard? What kind of jokes have you heard? What kind of speech have you heard? Most television shows, most movies you watch, what are they going to have? Cursing, and we sit there and listen to it, and we think nothing of it. I'm fine. It doesn't bother me. That's the problem. We've gotten to the point where they can curse God, and it doesn't matter to us anymore. I worked today during my latter years of high school and a couple years in college. I worked at a place called Volco. V-O-L-C-O. It was a lumber yard, basically. They made cinder blocks and things. And I worked with a bunch of guys that were pretty crude. And I heard a lot. You know, just there's no way around it. There's no way around it. Didn't like it. I worked at a bicycle shop also when I was at Bob Jones with a bunch of unsafe guys. One guy had a radio he played all the time. It was kind of funny. Every time he'd leave, We repaired bicycles and set them up and stuff. Every time he'd leave, we'd sneak over and turn his radio down. He'd come back, he'd turn it back up. It was constant. Sometimes we put it on Christian radio station for him and stuff. But folks, we're under constant bombardment all the time. All the time. Now, what he is saying is, look, you need to be carefully controlling everything you see, everything you hear, everything you touch, everything you smell, everything you taste, everything, you need to be careful. Why? Why? Second main point. We've seen the record of the command, the reason for the command. And that's that last part of the verse. Here it is. For out of it, out of what? The heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. You say, I've got lots of issues. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Issues here is an interesting word because it's used to describe geographical barriers or borders. I've been reading in Numbers. Boy, can I take just a second here and tell you what I read this morning? I read a passage I don't ever remember reading before. Now, we're getting ready to go to Knoxville to see the doctor. And I read a passage in Numbers that listed every stop they made between Egypt and the Promised Land. I had never seen. You know how many places there were? Any idea? How many years did they spend in the wilderness? And surprisingly, there were 40 places. I had no idea there were that many. But you know the neat thing about that? Why did they go to each of those places? Well, I think today we'll move, right? Why'd they move? Come on, think with me. God led them. God led them. God led them. God led them to all 40 of those places and finally the Promised Land. Now, what's the application for us today? If God can leave all those people for 40 years, surely he can lead us in this decision. Now, that was just a footnote, okay? That was free. No charge for that. But he's talking about Joshua coming into the land and setting up all the borders. Set all the borders. This tribe will be here. This large tribe is going to get more land. This tribe, small tribe, they're going to get this land. Some tribes, 2.5 tribes, are going to stay on the other side of the Jordan River. So we're going through all this stuff. You know that idea, that issues? Those are geographical borders. And what he's saying is that your spiritual heart is going to determine the borders in your life. It's going to determine what you do and where you go and what you say. In fact, ultimately, it's going to control everything about your life. That's why he says, you need to keep a close eye on it. You better watch it. You better be careful what you allow in those gates. Because everything you allow into those gates is going to influence your life. Let me give you some more proof of that. Turn to Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7, just over a few pages. Just the first part of that verse. Now, he's really talking about a negative person here who's not nice to you, but who tries to be nice to you. And he said, look, don't believe all that junk he does, because verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See? What we tend to do is say, well, look at all the nice things they're doing on the exterior. That's the real person. No, it's not the real person. The real person is as he thinketh in his heart. The real you is that spiritual heart, that man soul we've been talking about. Don't be fooled by the exterior. Now, this is all throughout the New Testament, too. Let's move quickly. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34 and 35. These are probably all familiar passages to you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. And he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Notice, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Why do you say what you say? Why are there times that you are, this is a great Southern word, hateful? How many of you have ever been hateful? Okay, how many are liars? Okay, we've all been hateful, haven't we? Yeah, we're all liars too, you're exactly right, yeah. Why is that? Well, it just happened, you know, I was just talking and all of a sudden it just, boom, I didn't even think about it. Why did it happen? Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaking. Your spiritual heart controls your speech. Why do some people have filthy language? Because they have a filthy heart. Why do some people have a deceitful language? Because they have a deceitful heart. You see, folks, your speech says a lot about you. Now, it may tell where you're from. It may tell a whole lot about you, but one thing it tells about you is we can't see your heart, but our speech tells us a lot about the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. Think about this. Every word or thought that you say begins somewhere. Right? A little pamphlet was given to you years ago. Some of you probably seen it. It's called Your Reactions Are Showing. And the way you react to things tells what you're really like, because that's when you don't really have time to think about it and say, okay, now I'm going to be spiritual, and so I'm going to say this. The way we react to things, the way we speak, it reveals what our heart is like. You say, boy, there are times when I just get so mad. I want to say this. What's the problem? It's the heart. And the heart is influenced by the things you allowed into it. I remember I spoke about working at Volco, this lumber yard that I worked at. And I was shocked. There were some times when I did something stupid. And one time I was driving, I was driving a forklift and had a whole pallet of sheetrock on it. And I came, and I was unloading this whole truck. You know, they don't let rookies do that. So I'd been there for a few years, and you know, I'm unloading all this sheetrock. And you know how sheetrock is. You bump it against something. I mean, it's just torn all to pieces. So I think I was in the very last bundle, is not the right word. Is that the right word? Okay. And I'm coming around the corner, and I've got it pretty close to the ground, and I'm coming around the corner, and I was going too fast. And whing, like a deck of cards, you know, just right on the asphalt. Of course, every one of them all got torn up. And I was shocked at some words that came to my mind. Now, why was that? Because I had allowed some things in my ear gate, and boom. Ooh, I didn't say them. If you'd written them down, I might have signed it, though. You see how important the heart is, folks? That's why we need to set a watch. We need to keep it. We need to protect it. Turn to Matthew 15, just over a couple pages. Man, my time's almost gone. I got to hurry. Matthew 15. And verse 17. Now the Pharisees came to Christ and said, hey, your guys are eating food they shouldn't eat and all this stuff, and you're getting defiled by this. And here's his response in verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth out into the belly and is cast out into the draught? He's saying, look, you eat food, it just goes through your system. Don't worry about it. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now notice, for out of the heart proceed, it's going to get worse. It's not just bad language. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, these are the things which defile a man. What's he saying? Why do people murder? They have a murderous heart. Why do they blaspheme? They have a blasphemous heart. And we can go on and on and on about this, folks. I want you to look at one more passage. I'm going to hurry. Here you go. Mark chapter 7. Same context, but he adds a few more. And I want you to see those real quickly. Turn fast. Mark 7, 22. If I go over, it's because you didn't turn fast enough. So go, go, go. All right? Verse 22. You got it? Note, we'll start in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, let me make some application. We'll be done. You say, Gary, it's not true of me. I am the exception. I can watch filthy TV or I can watch things on the internet and it won't affect me. I wonder if Eve said that. Probably not about TV or the internet. But what was Eve's downfall? Well, in Genesis 3:6, and when the woman, what's the next word, you know? Saw. How did she see? With her eyes, just like you and I do. And she saw it was good for food, and she took it, and the fall occurred. In Sunday school, you may have already started. You're supposed to start this week studying about David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man that was the greatest king in Israel, the man who would not touch Saul. I mean, you could go on and on and on about all the great things about David. And he reaches really the zenith, the peak of his kingdom and his rule. And he's doing great. And then comes Second Samuel chapter 11. And it's a time for kings to go forth to fight. And he didn't go. And he's standing up on his balcony in his palace, and he saw. And he saw. And he allowed something to enter into his soul that should never have been there. And because of that, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, which led to murder, which led to all kinds of trouble in his home. And you look at the Word of God, and I'm kind of stealing my own thunder from Sunday, but folks, you look at David's life and it's up, up, up. I mean, from the sheepfold, up, 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 up. And he's doing great. And then all of a sudden, Bathsheba, and it's down, 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 down. And it's trouble the rest of his life. What if David had gone to war that day? Or what if when he had looked out and he saw it, he turned away and he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. But he didn't. You know, Ted Bundy, some of you remember Ted Bundy, a guy that they think probably killed 36 young women. He was interviewed by James Dobson. He said, I have met a lot of men who were motivated to commit violence just like me. And without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography. Without exception. Well, see, the eye gate. You've got to protect what you see. Is it any wonder that when Job was trying to establish integrity, his integrity with God, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He knew that sexual impurity started with the eyes. You say, but Gary, okay, I'll give you that point, but listen, I can listen to any kind of music or anything that I want to listen to, and it won't hurt me. It won't affect me. I could listen to any kind of television show or whatever, and they may have blasphemy and all kinds of things, but it won't hurt me. Folks, let me just be honest with you. That is just stupid. It really is. You know, well, we think we can listen to music that's all about drinking and fighting and losing my wife and doing all these things, and it won't affect me. By the way, if you cut all that music out, you pretty much dumped all country western music. Of course, you know what happens, don't you, when you play country western backwards. You get your car back, you get your dog back, you get your wife back, you know all that. But at any rate, that's one thing some of you will remember from the whole night, and that's it. You say, well, you know, I can listen to that old soft rock. What's wrong with listening to spiritual music that builds up your soul, that builds up your heart, that gives you a pure heart and a right heart? Why do we have to hang on to the world's music anyway? God saved you out of that. Get rid of it. I know a man that had a huge record collection of all the old rock music, and he still had it as a believer, and I thought, not good. He's not in church today. You see, folks, what you look at, what you listen to, will affect your soul and your spiritual heart, and it will determine the outcome of your life. You know, you need to be careful who you hang around with. There are certain people you hang around with, they're going to tell dirty jokes, they're going to tell negative things. Their job in life is to tear down everybody. They are the corrector, you know? And they call you on the phone. You know what you ought to say, ladies? Or men? I'm busy, can't talk. Don't listen to that garbage. You listen to somebody who's negative about the church, what's going to happen to you? Well, let me tell you, Anthony, what happened at church today. You won't believe it. Wow, this guy, he did not even shake my hand. And they're negative, and they can't say one good thing about anything going on at the church. You know what's going to happen pretty soon? You're going to be right in the same boat with them because you allow that stuff to come in to your heart. And before long, you're negative too. And you're calling somebody else in the church, and boy, it's like wildfire. Why not edify instead of tear down? Why not? Now, I know if you go up to pastor or somebody and tell them, boy, that sermon was a blessing, they may faint, and you might have to pick them back up. But hey, we ought to be encouraging people and building people up. And I'm preaching to myself too. Okay? Now, my dad has said for years, and I'm sure it's not original with him. He says, garbage in, garbage out. Now, I could have said that at the beginning and saved you 30 minutes. How can we expect as believers to have spiritual speech, pure thoughts, right actions, when we feed junk and more junk and more junk and more junk by what we read, by what we watch, by what we listen to, by what we see? And so Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence. You say, I'm 10. This doesn't affect me. Oh, yes, it does. You say, I'm 45. It doesn't. Oh, yes, it does. You say, I'm 85. Oh, yes, it does. You say, I'm 105. It may not affect you. All right. Look, folks. Solomon is giving us a word of wisdom tonight. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You say, boy, you're stirred. I'm stirred up because I'm preaching to me. Because I have the same temptations that you do, the same flesh that you do. And if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we will allow this wickedness to come into our life, folks, and it will control us in a negative way, and before long we'll have fallen out of church, we'll be away from God, living in sin. And it all depends on what we allow to come into our soul, what should be coming in through your eye gate, which you're here tonight, congratulations. Even knowing the pastor wasn't here, that really is a great, great congratulations. Watch it now, buddy, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Good spiritual music. We're going to be having, if I can ever find some good bookshelves, we're going to start a store out here in the lobby. They're behind the Welcome Center, and sell some good CDs. Leroy, I'm going to have some 8-tracks for you, buddy. We'll take care of you. And we're going to have some good Christian music that you can listen to. And get rid of that junk. You know, we need folks to protect our hearts. We need to be like Paul says in Philippians 4:6, finally, brethren, here's the kind of stuff you ought to be listening to and the stuff you ought to be looking at. Whatever things are true. Well, that throws out most of it, doesn't it? Whatever things are honest or just or pure. Things that are lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, may the Lord help us as believers to guard our hearts. Keep it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I needed this. I will need this my whole life, I''m sure. And Lord, I pray that as believers, you would help us to be careful about what enters through the gates of our soul. And God, I pray that even now you would convict us and help us to see the necessity of having those things that are spiritual and pure and honest and good and lovely and all those things entering into our hearts, and not allow the world to enter into our hearts through what we see and what we hear, what we touch. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I don't know that we'll have a formal invitation tonight. But I wonder if you say tonight, Gary, thank you. This is what I needed. God has really spoken to me tonight, and I just like you to pray for me. Just say, Gary, tonight, amen. God has spoken to me. I needed this tonight. Amen. Good. Others, God has spoken to my heart. This is what I needed to hear tonight. Praise the Lord. Good. Lord, God, I thank you for these who have raised their hearts. God, it's a battle. We are under attack. We are thankful, Lord, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I pray that you give us victory this week. Help us to be so conscious, Lord, of what we allow to come into our spiritual heart that we might have good fruit in our lives and be productive in our service for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Are the teens coming back Friday or Saturday? Some of you parents know. Saturday, Russ, do you know? You don't really care? Saturday. All right. Let me just encourage you. Saturday, as they travel, let's be praying for them. And so I think it's a 5-hour drive. It's not a huge drive. But let's pray that God will bring them back safely. And let's be working. By the way, we still have a lot of these bus things left on the table. If you used to work in the bus ministry or ride it, if you'd like one, help yourself. They're free. If you want to sell them to somebody else, that's your deal. All right? Lord bless you. Let's have a good week serving the Lord. We'll see you Sunday.